Lakers trade targets plus Indiana about to lose one of their talented young wings. I'm Trevor Lane. This is the Basketball Bulletin. Make sure you subscribe right here to the channel. We're hoping, fingers crossed, we can pass 40,000 subscribers before 2026. The clock is ticking. Hit that subscribe button if you've not done so yet. Joining me is Donnie Freeman. Donnie, exciting time of year. The G League Showcase getting going. That means we're probably going to get a lot of trade news coming up in the next few days, but some really interesting stuff today on the Lakers targets, and then Ben Mathurin potentially being very available with the Pacers.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really excited about that, and hopefully we do get some stuff because it's a little bit dry out here. A lot of it is a lot of the same guys being in trade rumors and stuff like that we've been hearing about, frankly, all season up to this point. So I'd like to see some action sooner than later.
Yeah, I think it's coming. But let's talk about this. Indiana has made it abundantly clear that Benedict Mathurin is available for trade, with the Pacers unwilling to offer him a nine-figure extension and targeting a deal that delivers a significant upgrade to their front court. So, Ben Mathurin, the former number six overall pick, the rookie deal coming to an end, and the Pacers are saying, we don't necessarily want to be the team to pay you on your next contract. Mathurin this season, 19.8 points per game, 44% from the field, 39% from three, 5.6 rebounds, 2.3 assists. But the Pacers are saying, yeah, we don't think we want to be the team to commit long term here. But you notice that the word that's troubling here, Donnie, is upgrade to their front court. That's what the Pacers want for Ben Mathurin. They're not looking to just be a seller and get future draft assets or anything like that. So you have to find a team that's looking for young talent and is willing to move win now pieces, because the Pacers are, they're in a weird spot. While they've been losing a lot of games, they're going to have a nice high draft pick. They also want to have pieces in place for next year when Halliburton returns.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think he could be one of those pieces for them long term, of course. He's still obviously very young, and he's been with the team for a few years here, and they know what he can provide. You know, he's an interesting player because he's a great scorer. Well, great may be a bit of a stretch. He's a really good scorer, I would say. Decent defender, decent rebounder, very good athlete. But he's very volatile also. Like, he's the type of guy that can give you, you know, single digit scoring, then he can erupt for 20 the next night. And he did that a lot during the playoff run. And as a result, his minutes were very up and down during last season's playoff run as well. But overall, though, I can understand if they want to try to find a better fitting piece here. They're also in the market for like a big as well. They've been linked to several, like Daniel Gafford and stuff like that. But also, in terms of the salary, they've also got, you know, two guys on max deals making identical money, ironically there. But with him, I do wonder about what that could look like in terms of how much he wants to get on his next deal as well. I think that's probably the most important thing here, because I don't think they believe they can't win with him as part of their team. It's already been something that they've done. But getting better in terms of the upgrades that they can make to the front court is probably the priority. And then obviously considering the salary for him and this being a gap year, right? This is just primarily a gap year. They're going to try. They got their pick back, which was humongous, right? Right before the injury, right? Like that, that's insane.
Right before Halliburton's Achilles tear, they traded for their pick back, man, for this year. Again, sorry, Pelicans fans. The Pelicans, had they not done the Derek Queen deal, or had they even just put protections on that draft pick in the Derek Queen deal, they could be looking at maybe two top five picks right now.
Disgusting.
For the Pelicans. Goodness.
So Dumars just got in, but like, can we get him out of there already? Spell practice, man. So for the Pacers, though, yeah, they've got a lot of decisions to make, but I think the most important thing is they don't want to gut the roster. They don't want to give up too much talent. They want to improve and come back better, and I think they're primed to do so.
Yeah, you know, they could be in a really good spot. You mentioned Daniel Gafford, Ivica Zubac, another guy that they've been linked to. Essentially any of the bigs out there on the market, I think they'd be looking to acquire. Now, Ben Mathurin, we look at his salary. He's only at $9.1 million. So in terms of salary matching, that will be, you know, a little bit tricky depending on who you're going after. But they've got some other pieces that they could potentially put into a deal, like Obi Toppin might be interesting to put in there. But whatever team gets Mathurin will have to be willing to pay him on his next contract. He'll be a restricted free agent. And if we're talking about a nine-figure deal, essentially what I read that as is that Mathurin is looking at his production and saying, I want Josh Giddey money. I want that 25 plus million per year that we saw Josh Giddey get. that we saw Jonathan Kuminga essentially wind up right around. Cam Thomas did not get that money. Quentin Grimes did not get that money, but that's what Ben Mathurin is expecting. So I wonder if that could actually diminish his trade value. Do other teams read the situation the same way as Indiana does and say, you know what, he's a really good player, but we don't want to be paying him $25 million plus per season on a four-year deal? I wonder if that will diminish his value more so than you would typically see for a 23-year-old who's putting up 20 points per game.
Yeah, I do wonder about it. I think it's about scalability with him and whether or not he could go to a team that wants to be or is on the up, right? Like they're going to be, like, say, for example, Chicago. Like, do they think hypothetically he could be their two guard of the future, right? They've got some other guard stuff they need to figure out, but just hypothetically speaking, or maybe they're three of the future. And can he be a guy that's going to go there, play 30 to 35 or so minutes a night, give them 20 points reliably? And if that is the case, if they believe that, I can understand why a team would be willing to offer him something in that range. And if you're Benedict, I think that may be the best case for you, because I think in terms of Indiana, he could be successful there, like I was saying earlier. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that they've got a lot of guard depth. And so he's also somebody that gets kind of lost in the shuffle there, which is why I was saying his minutes kind of go up and down depending on the way some of these guys are playing. And he just gets lost in the shuffle there. So I do think that if you're trading for him with the eye towards the future, because that's the only reason you trade for him, I think, right? You're understanding that you need to pay him and probably pay him what he is asking for or something. Maybe you guys can reach a middle ground, maybe a team option or something like that on there. I don't know. But I think if you're trading for him, it's because you believe he can be that guy for you. And whatever that number is, that may be something you guys can negotiate, but it's probably in that range.
Well, something certainly to keep an eye on here moving forward, but Benedict Mathurin joining a growing list of players available on the trade market ahead of February 5th's trade deadline. Let's talk about the Lakers targeting players like Keon Ellis, Herb Jones, and more. There's some new guys that we need to get into here as potential Lakers targets, and we'll get to that in 1 minute.
Real quick, if you're already watching and trying to stay consistent with your eating habits while you're busy, then this is for you. I've been using Factor lately, and it's genuinely helped me stick to better eating habits without overthinking my food choices. The meals are fresh, never frozen, and ready in just 2 minutes. So even when I'm filming or simply don't feel like going to the store to get groceries, I can still stay on track. What I really like is how much variety they have now. With over 100 weekly options, the meals are designed with ingredient avoidance by default. So no pork, shellfish, mushrooms, or those spicy ingredients. They also offer plans like a high protein and GLP-1 support, which make it easier to choose something that actually fits your routine. Most of the meals I've personally had come with over 30 grams of protein, which has been great for my consistency. As you can see, it's nicely packaged, and this literally took just a couple of minutes to prepare. So head to factor75.com or click the link down below and use the code BULLETINFB50 to get 50% off your first Factor box plus free breakfast for 1 year. That's code BULLETINFB50 at factor75.com to get 50% off your next order.
I got to say that the white hand in there, that's certainly my hand. Just,
we both did Factor ad reads. We're using the same B-roll. I got to say, though, Donnie, like I've legitimately been impressed with Factor. Like I thought, okay, you're microwaving this for 2 minutes in the microwave. It's not going to be that good. They're actually really good.
They actually are pretty good. Yeah, I do like them. I ran through mine in like 2 days. So Factor is doing something legit. So sign up for it. We're not just shilling it. I actually enjoyed it.
Yes, 100%. Okay, let's talk about Lakers targets here. Dan Wojcicki noted Keon Ellis. The asking price right now is a protected first-round pick. Now, the NBA may be changing their rules on pick protections. That's something that just came out yesterday, that it's something the NBA will look at. It's tied into the overall, you know, gambling conundrum that the league has right now. But for right now, the asking price for Keon Ellis is a protected first-round pick. Donnie, I don't think that's like an absurd ask. I would feel a lot better if you were a team, whether it's the Lakers or anybody else, probably doing like multiple seconds, knowing that he has to be paid on his next contract. But I thought this was going to be a situation where Sacramento was demanding an unprotected first or something for him. To me, that asking price isn't out of the question. Now, if it's a top one protected, okay, obviously pick protections, there's a lot of variety in there. But that doesn't sound absurd to me, a protected first round pick in general for Keon Ellis.
Yeah, if it's like a mid-tier protection on there where it's like a fringe lottery guy, maybe you'd be balk at that. But if it's a lower tier one, you know, into the 20s, I don't really care much about that. I think you can get good value from Keon. I think that with him, it's just interesting they're asking for that, which should be the case, by the way. You know, historically, asking prices go down as you get closer to the deadline. But if you're Sacramento, realistically, he's your best asset. Like, you could say, obviously, you have better players on the market, but he's basically your best asset for a number of reasons, right?
He's the guy that's been called the most, and he's only $2.3 million his contract.
That's part of why.
But the Kings are saying, well, we want to move DeRozan. We want to move LaVine. We want to move Sabonis. These are the guys that we want to move. But teams continue to call for Keon Ellis, which is shows like how in demand that 3-and-D skill set is.
And there was a report that says they're not going to use him as a sweetener either. So he's not going to get thrown into these other deals for those guys as a sweetener to make you take on a Sabonis salary hypothetically or something like that. Like, he is his own asset. That's the way they're viewing him. It's just interesting because they're playing him more now, but he was getting a number of DNPs and things like that. And also I continue to think it's interesting because at some point, maybe they just think that their rebuild process is going to take longer and he's going to be into the middle of his prime and it won't be what they want, like him specifically. But at some point, you're going to need to target Keon Ellis type of players to pair with Clifford, Murray, whoever else you get in there, right? So I just think that part of it is interesting. Currently, he does profile and fit fine there. And, you know, I do wonder if there's maybe something that they know about him that we don't know, because he was getting those DNPs and stuff. Like, what's happening here?
It does seem that way. Like, the for whatever reason, and I think most teams right now are defaulting, and here's his game log, are defaulting to the Kings are going to be the Kings. They're missing something.
Two coaches in a row did this.
It does feel like everyone else in the league values him higher than his own team, the Sacramento Kings, do. So, like, you're right. Is there something that we're missing, something we don't know about him that the Kings do? And they're right to not play him as many minutes. Now, you look at the last two games he's played, he's been over 30 minutes in each of those two games. So that's actually good. Now, he's also in a three-point shooting slump right now, 1-for-7 last game, or 2 games ago, 1-for-6 last game, 1-for-3. He's been a better three-point shooter than that over the course of his career, though.
They're ramping him up, so he's prime for a trade. That's all that is.
They're ramping, so that's why they're feeding him all these minutes.
Yeah,
but they need him to shoot a little better if he's going to get dealt. But maybe that's it. They're showcasing him right now and getting him ready for a trade.
Like, he goes from 7 to 6 to 20, and then up to, and then he's at 9, 15, and then 30, 30. Like, what's happening here? They know what they're doing.
Some DNPs sprinkling in there too. Yeah, but again, he's a guy who seems to have a lot of interest around the NBA, but he's not the only one that the Lakers are going to be targeting. The Lakers have had internal discussions, according to Wiki, about Andrew Wiggins earlier this summer and could revisit those if they decide to sacrifice cap space next summer. So that's always the challenge with Andrew Wiggins. We've talked about this quite a bit over on Lakers Nation, but Andrew Wiggins, if you're going to trade expiring salaries for him, which is mostly what the Lakers have to trade, whether we're talking about Rui Hachimura, Gabe Vincent, Maxi Kleba, any of those guys, Wiggins, I don't see any chance that he doesn't pick up that $30 million player option for next year. So you're eating up $30 million in flexibility this summer, which is a lot. That's a lot. I don't know if I like Andrew Wiggins that much to take him at $30 million for next year. That I think he'd be a really nice fit, but you got to be convinced he's going to push you to the next level to pay him $30 million next year.
And that's the problem with, I think, swinging a trade for him right now. But because the reality is that for the Lakers, so much of their roster is going to be in flux. You know, we talk a lot about like LeBron and whatever decision he and they make on his next salary. But the reality is, it's like a lot of these guys may or may not be back on the roster because a lot of them are just flat out able to become free agents this summer. And there's going to be a lot of shuffling here. And so do you want to lock yourself into that? You also need to pay Reeves, which I believe you can get done later. You can sign some of the other guys and then pay them later. But you have some stuff to do. Yeah, you have some stuff to do already, but a lot of these guys are going to come off the books. So maybe you don't want to lock yourself in with Wiggins right now.
Like DeAndre Ayton, I can't imagine he's picking up that $8 million. It would be great, I think, if he does.
He needs to take double that. He's paying really good.
Yeah, he's been playing great, so he's probably going to get more than that. Marcus Smart, if he can stay healthy, probably gets more than that $5.4 million. So there's going to be some questions, and that goes beyond just LeBron James, what they're going to do. So they very much have to have a plan in place before you go trade for whether it's an Andrew Wiggins or anybody else that has non-expiring salary, but that's mostly the value that a team like the Lakers can provide is expiring salaries, taking on that long-term money. Now, if Andrew Wiggins were willing to help facilitate a deal by saying, I'll decline my player option, like they've talked about maybe Zach LaVine doing, that's obviously a different story, but I can't imagine him doing that. And if he were willing to do that, the Miami Heat would just say, cool, we'll keep him. So that's a tough spot to be in.
Look at Rui, Gabe, Max, all these guys. That's a lot of money.
Just, that's a lot. They like could be one of the biggest cap space teams in the NBA this summer.
Yeah. So like I said, do you want to guarantee another $30 million? The plus side, the counter to that is that you have somebody who is a for sure thing that you would be picking up ahead of time. You could call it pre-agency, what have you.
Yeah.
And you get to the, and maybe you get to the summer and there aren't Andrew Wiggins types out there, right, that you can get at that time. Maybe it's harder to do that, and so maybe your pre-agency shopping is to pick up him. And I think he could be, you know, on the wings for a couple of years with Luka. So
well, and then, and if you could do it without having to sacrifice that first round pick, you could have Andrew Wiggins expiring $30 million contract to play with this summer, plus three potential first round picks that you could use in trade efforts over the summer. So there's pros and cons certainly to doing something like that, but not the only guys that are out there. Keon Ellis, Andrew Wiggins, Herb Jones, and Herb Jones sounds like he's just not available right now. We'll see if the Pelican stance changes as we get closer to them actually being allowed to trade him, which comes on January 14th. But some other players, Derek Jones Jr., somebody to keep an eye on, the Clippers player. He's been out last month or so due to injury, due to a knee sprain. But it's he'd be, I think, a really good. He already fit well with Luka in Dallas. Yeah. That said, though, I love Chris Dunn on the Clippers. Donnie, could you see the Clippers actually trading with the Lakers, though?
No, no chance. Not unless they're fleecing, like you always say. There's just no chance. But you know what? Maybe it would incur some goodwill in LA from LA fans. Maybe they would be nicer to the Clippers if they pulled a trade and gave the Lakers something. I don't know.
Yeah, I doubt it, but but we'll see if there's any possibility there, if they can get something done.
He would be nice, though. He fit with him, like you said previously. He's developed into enough of a shooter where you can say, okay, he'll hit 33-34%. On three attempts. That's really honestly what you're asking for Vando, just like hit 33% of these things, and he's been doing it lately, so maybe he can keep it going. I don't know. But we obviously know he's a lob threat, got great rim pressure, great defensive player out there on the wings, hustle, dirty work type guy. Those are the type of guys you want to put around not only Luka, but LeBron, Austin. Yep. These are the type of guys you want to put around them just in general.
Absolutely. So I have a hard time believing the Clippers will trade with the Lakers, but you know, shake that tree, see what drops, and if there's anything that
they're not going to trade if you keep doing that. they're gonna be like, did you hear about this Trevor Lane guy?
Stupid tree puns. We need to aspire for better than that.
That's why they have deep-rooted issues.
That's some other players Rifle Scouts and executives mentioned as potential fits. Terrence Mann for the Brooklyn Nets. That's another one where he could fit the skill set. Ultimately, Donnie, what we're talking about is changing the slotting on the Lakers roster, making it so that Austin Reeves doesn't have to be a point of attack guy, because that's not really where he's at his best. But Terrence Mann, $15.5 million, 3 years under contract, though. So you got to be, again, pretty convinced that he's the guy. Cheaper, certainly, than Andrew Wiggins. But if you decide you want flexibility this summer, because he has two more years under contract, I think that will make him even more difficult to move than Wiggins would be.
Man is cool, but I just don't know if I want to pay him that amount for, a couple years? I don't know.
Teams are so allergic to long-term salary right now. It makes it tough. The Hornets, Josh Green. I'm not that in on him. But Ayo Dosunmu would be interesting. Again, they need a point of attack guy. Ayo Dosunmu with Chicago. Could he be made available? When you look at where he's at contract-wise, right now, Ayo, a $7.5 million expiring contract, extension eligible. Could you go get a player like him and make him your point of attack defender to allow Austin Reeves to be in his more natural chaser role? Can you slot guys differently if you could get someone like him? That should be of some interest, I would think.
Yeah, I would actually really like Dosunmu. I think he'd be a really fun player to put on this team. And I don't know that Chicago's trading him. I think they've got some things to sort out with their guard core, like I mentioned earlier, but he'd be a really nice player. And he'd also be a part of a three-headed guard monster that they would have, you know, keeping Austin long-term, and they're all in the same age range. I think you could have that core for a while.
Though the Bulls have held him in high esteem in the past and would probably seek a haul on that. Therein lies the problem for anybody the Lakers are trying to trade for. Any of these guys that fit that 3-and-D skill set, a lot of teams are going to want them. Price is going to go up. And the Lakers don't have a ton of assets to put into a deal.
Except for maybe Green.
Maybe.
Green is interesting. Like, I'm not really that in on him. But if you could get him for cheap, he's a career 38% shooter. Worked with Luka for a few years there, obviously. He could be a piece. He's only played a few games so far into this season.
He's been dealing with injury.
Yeah. So maybe... maybe now is the time to try to pull off something cheap for him if possible. But he could be one of those guys. I think if you're going to get one of these guys, I think a lot of it is like we focus on, like, we talk a lot about guys like Herb Jones, things like that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, well, that's the guy that's going to slot in as a fifth starter. But I think realistically, the Lakers could really use a few of these guys, right? So could you get a Keon and a Josh Green? And that would help out the rotation overall. Maybe you jettison Gabe out of here, so he's no longer played, and that would help as well, addition by subtraction. Like, I think the Lakers could use a few of these guys too.
Yeah, I think they certainly could. Green just played his first three games of the season, and you know, again, I've seen the reason why I'm hesitant on him in part is because I've seen a number of, and I haven't done a deep dive on Josh Green, but I've seen a number of Mavs fans who have said, yeah, you don't want to go down that path again. Former Mavs fans, I should say, who are now following Luka to the Lakers, who are like, yeah, we don't want to do that. 13.6 million, 14.6 million. So again, that's
a lot. He's more than I thought.
Well, you're talking there, like, do you want to take a Gabe Vincent or a Maxi Kleba, an expiring salary, and turn him into a non-expiring? And I think conceptually that's fine, but is Josh Green that guy that you want to give up that flexibility for? I think I would assume you can make an argument for him being that guy. I don't know about Josh. I think the Lakers have to be pretty convinced there.
Yeah, and for what role? Like, is he going to be coming in and playing 25 minutes?
No, that's the other thing, Donnie. I've been saying this a bunch. I think the Lakers' fifth starter is not on this roster right now.
Yeah,
I don't think, like, some of these guys, I don't think Josh Green is.
Don't think it's Terrence Mann. I don't think it's Josh Green. Maybe it could be Keon, but I don't think it's him either. Like,
agreed.
It certainly would be Wiggins, and if for no other reason than he's also got the cachet, but he's better than all these other guys, aside from maybe DeSumno, if you want to argue that. But
Herb Jones, you know, we haven't talked about him. Herb Jones and Andrew Wiggins are the clear cut, that guy is starting type players. Io DeSumno, maybe.
Yeah. I don't know that you want to start him though, just because you don't really want to slide another guard in there, I think. I think you could do it if for no other reason than because Luka's out there, but he's not really a guard. Like, he is, but he's not.
That's just it. Like, we've talked about quite a bit on Lakers Collective that, you know, like Marcus Smart, putting him in the starting lineup, is he another guard? Yes, but you want somebody that fills that point of attack skill set. Like, right now, the Lakers have Rui, LeBron, and Luka, who are probably all at their best defending either the most likely the four, but whichever one is slower between the four and the three on the opposing team, all three of those guys are going to be at their best defending the same player that's out there for the other team. So they can't all defend that guy. If you get a point of attack guy, you move Rui out of the starting lineup. Austin doesn't have to be on ball anymore. Everybody else slots down a spot. That does, I think, shift guys into more of a natural position.
You know, another thing that happens with that three-man trio out there is LeBron hangs out in his normal kind of dunker spot and just kind of backline waiting around. And I'm not saying that he's not doing anything, but he's oftentimes just quarterbacking the defense, and, you know, making minimal rotations, I should say, whenever there's things like that. He'll switch. He'll play on the perimeter too. But more often than not, they're pushing Rui into these off-ball actions, and he's just terrible at it, especially because his defensive awareness off-ball is terrible. Mm-hmm. And then they also get Luka involved in these, and he's not quick-footed enough. And it's just you have three guys that are all like not really able to defend on the perimeter. Like LeBron's the best of those three, I think, in terms of just navigating that stuff.
Sure. Because he sees everything with his supercomputer brain.
But then you could argue he's maybe better hanging around and saying, hey, Rui, this is coming. Like, you know, Luka, go under. Like this, that's what he's doing out there. Like
how many guys on the floor at any given time have the job of make sure Rui knows where to go?
Oh yeah,
we hear it every game. Rui, go here. Rui, go. Guys are constantly yelling his name and trying to get him to go to the right spot.
He got pissed at Rui at the end of the last game where he got the ball in the high post and Rui's man comes over and strips him, and he's like, "Dang!" Because Rui didn't say anything. Like he's like, "You're supposed to tell me the guy's coming." Like you're just like spaced out. What are you doing?
Oh, I love Rui. He's great, but you see it out there. He gets lost sometimes when he's out there on the court, but he's a phenomenal shooter. Anyway, look, those are the players right now the Lakers have at least kind of in the mix. Josh Green, Terrence Mann, Ayo Dosunmu, they're players of interest. All of this to try to keep Austin Reeves off ball, not being the main point of attack guy. If you're switching a lot anyway, it may not matter, but Derek Jones Jr., somebody else, Andrew Wiggins, Keon Ellis, Herb Jones. And then the question is going to be, can you get Donnie? I think they need more than one of these guys.
Yeah. This team really needs shooting also.
Yeah.
Like getting Derek Jones would be nice, but they really need another shooter out there that can play defense. And so,
every team in the NBA.
But the Lakers really need it. They're not a good three-point shooting team.
Yeah. Derek Jones, 35% from three this season, just 13 games, but 36% from three the season before in 77 games, 33% from three career. I mean, basically, you're hoping he'll shoot league average from three. And if you get that, I think you're more than happy with that. Sure. All right, everybody. Give us your thoughts in the comments down below. Can the Lakers actually land any of those guys that The Athletic was writing about? And what about Ben Mathurin? Where should he ultimately wind up? And can the Pacers get the front court upgrade that they're looking for? Let us know in the comments section. Don't forget to subscribe right here to the channel. Till next time, see ya and stay safe.